ate no pleasant bread. We took a page out of the playbook of the book of Jonah. They even had the animals fast. I said, don't even feed the dogs. They wouldn't go for that, right? But green beans for breakfast, black beans for breakfast, kidney beans for lunch. They're not as hungry as they used to be, but it'll be over pretty soon. But hope everyone's doing well. Matthew chapter 26. We're going to start reading in verse 30. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 30. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Then said Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the sheep, the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Now, we talked about a few weeks ago about being offended in God, right? Okay? Well, Peter is here saying, you know, maybe John the Baptist got offended. Maybe everyone in the world will get offended, but I will never get offended in you. Peter at this point is very confident in his own mind, at least in his relationship with the Lord. He's confident in the strength that he has in the Christian life. He's like the man that said, I'll never be tempted with that again. Be careful about saying things like that. Well, whatever you teach your flesh to do, it'll never forget. It'll come back in a weak moment. And he said, I'll never be offended. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. The cock is a chicken, a rooster, and thrice is three. Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. Now they met well, right? But keep going. Look at chapter 26 and verse 69. Now let's see how this turns out. Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, thou also was with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out into the porch. So the way I have it pictured, or the way I understand it, there's the palace in there, and Jesus is being tried, and people are talking to Jesus in there, and they're accusing him of all these things. They're having that mock trial. And the servants and Peter are outside in a different place. One passage says they're under the palace, but they're off down a little bit, and they're looking through at what's happening. And we know they're looking through at what's happening because at the end of this denial, in another passage, it said the Lord looked on Peter. Okay? So he's looking at what's happening to Jesus. He's watching the people mock him and spit on him and pull the beard out of his hair, out of his beard. And it's a very emotional time for Peter right now, what's happening. What verse was I on? What's that? 71. Okay. They were gone into the porch. And so he denies the Lord there by that fire. And he said, uh-oh, I better get out of here. People are starting to recognize me, right? And he goes out on the porch. And another maid saw him and said unto them that were there, this fellow also was with Jesus of Nazareth. And again, he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. He's upping it. Every time you deny him, it gets worse. Okay? One lie, you have to give it a million lies to support it. 73. And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. That it gives you away. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man, and immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the words of Jesus, which said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. Brother, can you ask the blessing on the sermon this morning?
Lord, thank you for this this day. I pray you'd bless this message to help us to get closer to you, Lord. And I pray that you would bless the words that Brother Bez has prepared. And Lord, thank you for the Bible, Lord. I pray that we could use it to honor and glorify you. And Lord, I pray that you would just protect us as we go through this fast and help us to set our minds on you and not the things of this world, Lord. Help us to just look unto you and help us to pray without ceasing. And thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen.
So what happened to Peter? You find Peter and he's in a strong place, right? He's saying, I will never deny the Lord. If everybody else does, I won't. Peter was one of the Lord's main disciples. He walked with him. When Jesus Christ went in a place apart to pray, he brought Peter with him. When he went up to the Mount of Transfiguration, he brought Peter with him. He gave Peter this promise that he would build the church on himself, and he would give him the keys. And Peter was the first man to preach the gospel to the Jews, and he was the first man to preach the gospel to the Gentiles, and that opened up the church there, and the Lord started building his church. A lot through his ministry, and he was in, but then we find him here, and he denies the Lord. So what happened with Peter? Many things happened. One was weakness. Jesus said to him, "Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. For the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." And Peter didn't have the discipline of prayer. He fell asleep instead of praying. And even though he wanted to do right, his spirit wasn't strong enough to do the right thing. The flesh took over. He was serving God in the flesh. Fear. Maybe he was going to be the next. I mean, when he said, I'll never deny you, a few hours later, he cut off somebody's ear. And if Jesus didn't put it back on, he would have probably been four crosses that day instead of three. And he found out that he wasn't ready for the ridicule that the Lord was going through. Another thing is he was offended, he was confused. If you read the Gospels, you cannot help but see that the disciples were not looking forward to the cross, they were looking forward to a kingdom, right? And he was offended, and Jesus said, I'm going to die, and he began to rebuke him, saying, no, you can't do this. And so he's confused, he's disillusioned. Think about this, Jesus is out there and he's going to get arrested. Peter loves the Lord Jesus Christ. He pulls out a sword and he's willing to die for Jesus. And Jesus said, I don't want you to fight. What? Well, I told you, I'd even die for you. Yeah, will you live for me? Right? And he's in this very emotional place. He's offended. Things didn't work out as he had planned. He's disappointed. And you know what he found himself doing? I don't believe he did this intentionally. But nevertheless, he found himself trying to fit in with the world. Right? Peter, just for a moment, okay? This isn't a long time in his life. This is only a few hours. Peter got mad at God, got offended at God, got disillusioned. He didn't understand what God was doing. He didn't understand what was going on in his life. All his plans had changed. Everything was messed up. And even though he didn't do it intentionally, he found himself beside the fires of the world, looking at Jesus and trying to fit in with those around him and not stand out. So I want to preach a message about this, marks of a Christian in the world. Because the question has been raised a lot. You see people, and you heard the perfect testimony this morning. The brother said, I thought I was saved when I was six. And I didn't really understand anything. And then my life didn't match anything in the Bible. And I found out I wasn't a child of God. Right? And the question has been raised a lot. How do you know if they're saved or not? And my answer to that is that I don't know. I don't keep the books of life. I don't want to talk anyone out of their salvation, but I don't want anyone to think that they're saved that are not saved either. Right? And Christians do go to the world, don't they? Peter went to the world. It was only for a few hours, but just during those few hours, we learn a lot of things about a Christian that's in the world. We see some marks on his life that separated him from the crowd. Okay? And he was out there, and if he could give you testimony about what happened in the world, I think this is what his testimony would be. Listen, a Christian in the world, number one, you won't fit in. You won't. Oh, it's cold out here. Hey, weren't you with Jesus? No! I got to get out of here. Right? Listen, he sat without in the palace, and the damsel came unto him, saying in verse 69, thou also was with Jesus. Listen, he's trying to hide it. He's trying to fit in and watch what's going on with Jesus. He's madder than a hornet. And he said, you were with him. And he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. He was trying to blend in and not to be noticed, but he was unmistakably different. Listen, if you have been with Jesus Christ, it shows and people will know. It just shows. There's no way that you can have found the Lord Jesus Christ and walked with Jesus for 3.5 years, and when Jesus called you out of the water, you walked across the water and met Jesus, and when you were sinking, he pulled you out. You saw him heal your mother-in-law. You saw him raise the dead. You saw him do the things he did to Jairus' daughter and Lazarus' daughter. The lepers were made whole. The lame walked. The demons were cast out, and he was there to witness all of these things. And if the Lord Jesus Christ has ever met you personally and you've been with the Lord Jesus Christ, the mark of it will be unmistakable. Everyone will know and you can't hide it. Hey, listen, if you fit in with the world, I can tell you this, something's wrong. I don't know what to tell you. I want to comfort you and all that. But if you, listen, birds of a feather flock together. That's just the way it is. I've had so many Christians come to me and say, I just don't fit in with church people. And they have no problem fitting in with the world. Listen, this was a Christian and he was out there in the world and he did not fit in. He didn't fit in. He said, I have a friend and his dad died when he was a preteen or a tween, or I don't know how you say that. He was that age, about this age. And his dad died, and he had 10, 11 brothers and sisters. And his mom married a preacher. And he said, I got so mad at all the things that happened, even though I was saved. He said, I tried to go to the world. And he said, I would be at a party. And he said, I would be there drinking. And he said, the Holy Spirit would say to me, you are in the wrong place. He said, you do not belong here. You are in the wrong place. And he said, I just couldn't connect with people. He said, I would try to connect with them, and I'd try to think what they thought, and I'd try to do what they do. And he said, I got bothered and bothered. And he said, the Holy Spirit never let me go. And I would try to drink it away, and I would try to drug it away. I became an alcoholic, and one day I came back to the foot of the cross and said, Lord, I can't deny you anymore. You are my Lord. You are my Savior, and I got to get out of this mess. And he left the world. He said, I was there for years and I just never fit in. I have another friend and he passed away now. He was a preacher. But before he became a preacher, he played the piano in church and he one time got mad at with God and he decided he was going to do the worst thing you'd think of. And he went and got a job at a bar, playing the piano for a honky-tonk bar. And he said, I was in there playing, And he said, this woman came up to me one time on the piano. She was half drunk, and she said, preacher, what are you doing here? She said, there's just something about you that reminds me of God. You don't belong here. And he said, I just got up, walked away from the piano, and went and got right with God. I started serving him. And he said, she was right. I could never fit in. I couldn't fit in. Listen, he couldn't connect with people. The Bible says this, that we are being defamed, we entreat. We're made as the filth of the world and the offscouring of all things unto this day. Verse 71, he tries to fit in again. Verse 73, he tries to fit in again. But it wasn't by the fire he didn't fit in. Out on the porch he didn't fit in. A little further out in the courtyard he didn't fit in. And listen, if you're a Christian, you can't fit in. Maybe it's at the work Christmas party. You ever go there? And they're all standing around, and I mean, you want to fit in. You go and you're like, oh, we have a good relationship. Maybe I'll go try to talk to him. And it's just like banging pots together. It's like me singing. It doesn't go well. Maybe you're with your relatives and they're all sitting around and they're trying to have family gathering, and you've been born again, so you're not actually part of that family. You're part of another family. And it just isn't like it was used to. Maybe you try to be like one of the guys around the water cooler, but you're just not the same anymore. Maybe you try to fit in with your neighbors. They just think you're weird. You know? I had a couple neighbors move in, and I came, and I saw them, and they were getting out of their car dressed all nice on a Sunday, right? And I said, oh, good, maybe they're Christians, you know? And I said, wow, this is good. And then another neighbor moved in, and the same thing started happening. And the other day I was passing by, and I said, hey, my name's Bez Cummings. I live over here, down here, and I just wanted to meet you. And I said, I'm a Christian. Are you a Christian? He said, no, we're Jehovah Witnesses. And I said, well, we're just not going to fit in together. We're just not. I mean, we think different about Jesus, right? I mean, it matters what you think about Jesus. You don't think he was God. I think he was God, right? You don't think he died on a cross. You think he was strangled on a torture stake. We're just not gonna fit in. It's gonna be different. And you know what I realized after that? That's what my neighbors look at me like. Just like I look at them. I move in and I have three little boys, and they come over all excited. Oh, man, it's so great. You have three kids and maybe we can have birthday parties together and all this. Yeah, that didn't last very long. We had one good conversation, then it's like, there's also a guy in the neighborhood, and he's on one of those lists that you look up to keep your kids away. You know that? And when people go by his house, they go, and then they go on the other side of the street and walk by. And they do that to my house. But I'm not a danger. You try to help them. You try to be a blessing. But you're just different. You don't fit in. And if you fit in, there's just something wrong. Something's wrong. You can't. Listen, you just cannot. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I have a friend, his name's Brother Chandler. He's come here and preached a revival. And here's one of the favorite things that he says that I love when he preaches. He's like, brother or sister, he said, you can be a Christian, be a lot of things. But you can't be a Christian and ain't nothing changed. He said, Jesus, he'll make the old doper throw away his dope. He'll make the old hooker quit hooking and come home and want to love her wife and be a faithful husband. He'll make the old drunk throw away his bottle. Amen, you can be a Christian, be a lot of things, but you can't be a Christian and nothing changed. And if you say you're a Christian and nothing changed, brother, sister, I got bad news for you. You're going to hell. I love it. You might not, but I do. Amen? What is the mark of a Christian in the world? He can't fit in. Number two, he'll mess everything up. Look at verse 74. Then began he to curse and swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. You know how you know Peter was a Christian? Because he was in the wrong place at the wrong time, and he messed everything up. And if I read my Bible through, the Bible says, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. And if you are a Christian and you live in the world, there's going to be consequences. Unless you're not saved. I mean, the Lord doesn't whip the devil's kids. But he does whip his own children. And there's consequences. And when I know Christians and they live for the world, you know what? They mess everything up. They mess their marriage up. I mean, how many? They come crawling in here. My wife's leaving me. She's going to divorce me. I'm having all these problems in my marriage. Well, what's going on? Well, I went to the world for a while. And I just messed it all up. Isn't that the testimony? Isn't that what, I mean, Peter had a great testimony that he built for 3.5 years. And in just a couple seconds, boom, it's gone. Boom, it's gone. You're ashamed to be with Jesus. What about those three people? You're not going to lead them to the Lord anymore. And he began to, listen, they mess up their marriage, they mess up their testimony, they mess up their family like Lot did. And he began to curse, and he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And all these people that Peter encountered while he was out in the world for a few hours, he blew it with. He just messed everything up. Many a Christian has went to the world and they married a lost person. And they messed their life up. Can two walk together except they be agreed? The Bible says one sinner destroy. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 18. Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 18. Wisdom is better than weapons of war. And that Jesus Christ is wisdom, right? But one sinner destroyeth much good. The tremendous influence of one person, and it's always more powerful when it's in the wrong direction. It's always more powerful when it's in the wrong. What took a lifetime to build up, a testimony, can be destroyed just like that. You go and live for the world, you're going to do a lot of damage. The effect of your life will be far more reaching if it's in an evil way. One person that has the flu can infect an entire church, an entire city. One book, the idea of man, can affect an entire nation. Think about the effects of Darwin's book. Think about the effects of these men. Think back on history. One sinner destroyeth much good. Adam's sin touched everybody in here. Adam's sin touched every person in here. Achan's sin stopped an entire nation from going forward. One man's sin. Rehoboam's sin split God's kingdom. Ananias and Sapphira, you know what they did? They brought sin into the church, and after that happened, the church was never as potent and never as powerful as it was before that. One sinner destroyeth much good. And when you go to the world, you know what you do? You mess everything up. And you think you're just messing it up for yourself. You're messing it up for us, the rest of the Christians. You're messing it up for your family. You're messing it up for your kids. And you're just destroying everything around you. One sinner destroyeth much good. You know, you're a preacher and you're all preaching something. You all have influence. You're preaching. Whether it's in the smallest circle of the home or at your job or in society, there's a little boy, and he woke up one day and there was a fresh fallen snow outside. And his dad got up and he walked outside and he was headed out to the barn, and he kept a jug of whiskey hidden in the corn crib in the corner of the barn. And he woke up that morning to go out there and get a swig of whiskey to start his day. And he heard a noise and he looked behind him and he saw his little boy, and his little boy was going. And he's stepping in all the tracks that his dad taught. And he said, "Son, what are you doing?" He said, "Daddy, I'm walking where you walk. I'm following in your footsteps. And I'm following you to the barn." He said, "Son, go back inside. Get back inside." And he went out there and he grabbed that bottle of whiskey and he crashed it and broke it. He got to thinking about it and he said, "I don't want my son walking where I walk." Listen, one sinner destroyeth much good. You have influence. You have influence in your family. You have influence at your job. You have influence in your community. You have influence in your neighborhood. And you have no business bringing a little boy or a little girl to hell. You might want to go there yourself, and that's fine, but you have no business bringing someone else along your pathway to hell. You have no business bringing your neighbors there and your coworkers there, because you're out there warming your hands by the fire of the world. Don't go out there and mess everything up. You know what he said? It wasn't worth it. You know why Peter was saved? Influence. John chapter 1, his brother Andrew brought him to Christ. He said, "We found the Christ." Peter said, "That's my brother Andrew, and he brought me to Christ." Don't lead other people in the wrong direction. You know what will happen if you go to the world? You won't have any peace. Look at verse 74. You won't have any peace. It says, "And then he began to curse and to swear, saying, 'I know not the man.' And immediately the cock crew." And then, verse 75, "And Peter remembered the word of Jesus." Listen, if you're saved, you know what you have down in your heart? You have the word of God. Right? "And in thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto according to thy word." And you know what you have? You have the word of God down in your heart. And when you go out into the world, you know what it starts doing? It's like hydrogen peroxide. When you do something wrong, it just starts bubbling. It starts, something's wrong. It starts trying to get the dirt out. And you know what you do? You start having this war going on inside of you. And you don't have any peace. Look at Isaiah chapter 57. The Bible says, "There's no peace, saith my God, to the wicked." In that the word of God will start festering in you. And the Bible says, Isaiah 57, in verse 19 and 20, "I create the fruit of the lips, peace to him that is afar off and to him that is near, saith the Lord, and I will heal him. The peace is found in the Lord. But the wicked are like the troubled seas, when it cannot rest, whose waters are cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked." You know what a Christian out in the world is? It's somebody that has a storm brewing inside of them. Their minds are restless, and they're perpetually hurried with their own lust and their own passions and with their own guilt and the dread of divine vengeance of what God is going to do. And it just bothers them and bothers them and bothers. Romans 3 and verse 16 says, "Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known." Listen, if you have rested in Christ, if you really have, and you found your way to the foot of the cross and you received Christ and you felt that peace, you'll just never be the same. There's just no way that you can be the same after that. If you've rested in Christ and had a clean conscience and been at peace with God, and then you deny Him by living in the world, there's going to be a continual storm in your heart. And it's going to come out in the form of anger, in the form of addictions, in the form of cursing, in the form of treating people wrong, and in the form of hiding things and trying to cover everything up. These people never said anything mean to Peter, did they? Did any of them say anything mean to him? No. I mean, I look at it, it was positive, right? Hey, you were with Jesus. Can you tell us what's going on in there? Oh yeah, man, they arrested him for no good reason. And you know why he's in there being arrested? Because he's dying for your sin. Your speech gives you away. Well, thank you. I've spent a lot of time with Jesus, and it's changed the way I talk, and it's changed everything about me. But those things that were taken as compliments, and those people, he just was so angry, and he started taking it out on everybody that was around him because he had no peace. And you know what Peter would tell you if he was here this morning? There's no peace out there in the world. There's no peace. And he said, surely thou art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. He was talking to him. Right? But it was just in his speech, and he was talking to him. Why wasn't he talking to him about the right things? Even when he was talking about the wrong things, the Bible came out. Amen, Brother Roland? You can't help it. It just comes out. They didn't try to do anything bad to him, and it says immediately the cock crew, and he remembered the word of Jesus that said unto him. Luke 22:16, he says, the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord. And he went out and wept bitterly. You know the saddest people I know, the angriest people I know are backslidden Christians. When you knock on doors, when you go witnessing to people, the people that get in your face and cuss you out, they're not lost people. Most of the time. You know what they are? They're saved people that got backslidden on God, and they went out in the world, and they're bitter and angry and they're mad. In my experience, most lost people that used to go to church as a kid, they have fond memories of it. It's just not where they go because they're not a Christian, right? But they think back on it when they were a kid, and they said, man, that was a great experience. But Christians, oh, they're mean. They're nasty. They're bitter. And maybe if you have meanness and nastiness and bitterness in your heart, maybe it's because you're out in the world and you're away from God. Because God brings His people that are living for Him peace. But you know what? I'm thankful that it didn't end there. I'm thankful that He didn't end there. And God, look at Luke chapter 22 and John chapter 21. We're almost done. Luke 22 and John 21. You know what God did? He used that short time that Peter was in the world to teach him a lesson and to strengthen him to do something. Luke chapter 22 and verse 31, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Listen, Peter was mad, but his faith didn't fail. Peter was backslidden, but his faith didn't fail. Peter was denying God, but his faith didn't fail. And without converted, when God changes your heart, when He changes your mind, strengthen thy brethren. Look at John chapter 21. John chapter 21. The Lord said to Peter, He said, I go before you into Galilee, right? And so Peter went out and wept bitterly. And he said, I got to get a hold of the Lord. And make this right? Where can I meet him? And he remembered Jesus, the words of Jesus, and he goes before him into Galilee, and look, where John 21 and verse 5. You know the passage, John chapter 21. The Lord goes and meets his disciples when they're out there fishing. And look at verse 5. And so when they had... Verse 21 and verse 6. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, now they were able not to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in the little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. And as soon as they were come to the land, they saw a fire of coals thereon, and fish laid thereon, and bread. And Jesus saith unto them, bring of the fish which you have now caught. Verse 11, Simon Peter went and drew the net full of great fishes, 153, for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus said unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord. So Peter was at a fire of the world, right? And he denied the Lord. And he went out and wept bitterly and repented and went to where he could meet Jesus. And Jesus came there and he built another fire. He built another fire. Right? And he invited Peter to that fire. And he said, Peter, do you love me? Yeah, Lord, I love you. You know what he said? Feed my lambs. Peter, do you love me? Yeah. Feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. You know what Peter would say? God has something a whole lot better for you than that's out there in the world. Amen. He has something a whole lot better for you to do than anything that you could find out there in the world. Don't go to the world. There's nothing in the world. If you go to the world, you won't fit in. You won't have any peace. And you're going to mess everything up. But go to that other fire where Jesus is. And think about the fellowship around that fire. Here's Jesus. and here's his disciples. And nobody, they all believe the same thing. They all want to serve God and glorify God. And he's their master and he's their leader and he's their savior. And they thought he was dead, and then he rose again, and he's there, and he still has something for them to do. And he builds a fire, and they warm themselves, and he cooks for them, and he gives them fish. What a beautiful... Listen, what you can have in here around the campfire with the Lord is so much better than anything you can have out there in the world. Amen. Right? Listen, when you want to go fast in the right direction, you know what you do? You go and you get in the HOV lane. But you can only be in the HOV lane if you're with other people. Right? You know what this is? This is God's HOV lane. It'll help you get where you're going. And you're not going to find it out in the world. And you know what Peter did? He submitted to the Lord and he spent the rest of his life feeding God's sheep. He submitted. You know what submission is? It's like a wild stallion. One time, I heard about this. You could adopt these Mustangs and everything. The Amish people were adopting these wild Mustangs, right? And they would get them, and these horses were strong, and they were fierce, and their necks were clothed with thunder, right? And so they would have these horses, and they would be strong and fierce, And the horses didn't mind it when you fed them. They didn't mind it when you provided a barn for them to go out of the rain. They didn't mind it when you gave them hay and did all those things for them. But when the cowboy or the Amish person tried to get on their back, you know what they would do? They would try to throw them off. They would say, get off! Bless me with food! Bless me with shelter! take care of me, but I don't want to use my strength to get off my back, right? And that's how a lot of Christians are. They want God to bless them and feed them and shelter them, but they don't want to use their strength to do anything for God. But you know when the cowboy has broken the Mustang will sit there and he will go where he wants, the cowboy wants him to go. And he didn't lose any strength. He didn't lose any muscles. He didn't lose his identity as a Mustang or as a horse. He didn't lose the uniqueness that came from being a horse. But he has a new rider. He has a new instructor, something new that controls him. He's no longer in control of himself. The cowboy's in control of him. And don't go to the world. You know what you need to do? You need to submit to the Lord and let him control you with all your strength. You're not going to lose anything. You're just going to gain a new driver. Amen? So you know what Peter would say? Don't do it. Don't do it. Some of you are contemplating it, or you're already out there. You're out in the world. You know what you need to do? You need to get out. You need to get out. And if you're in the world and you fit in, you need to have a serious talk with God. And you need to say, God, I don't know if I'm your child or not, but I do get along with lost people, and I don't get along with saved people, and the preacher says something's wrong, and maybe there is something wrong. Why is it that all my friends are lost and they don't even love God? And I profess to love God. Why do I fit in by the fires of the world? Something's wrong. And if you're out there, you're messing everything up if you're a Christian. You're messing your marriage up. You're just messing everything up. Don't go. Come back. And you won't have any peace. You know what God gives you? Perfect peace that passeth all understanding. He comes and he calms the storm. And you know what? You have something better to do than being out there. If I can ask you to bow your head and close your eyes and have the piano player come forward. Begin to play. Maybe you need to pray. You can pray in your seat. You can come to the altar and pray. Maybe you have someone that you know that you're praying for, a loved one, family member. The altar is open, and God is working. And if he's moving on your heart, don't deny him. Yield to him.
Please stand, turn to page number 280. And we'll sing just the first verse.
Softly and tenderly Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See on the portals he's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me. Come home.
Churchwide fasting will continue through the week. If you, whether or not you're participating, there is a prayer list. If you want the prayer list and you don't have it, you can text Michelle, and she can get you that information so that you can join us in prayer. Also, coming up, looking forward to the end of the fast. The Fast Breaker Fellowship will be on the 22nd at 7 p.m. Tonight, there's going to be a sign-up sheet for that so that we can know how many folks plan to attend that Friday evening service so that we can make sure we have enough food for everyone. And that's going to be Missionary Tom Goderman's going to be here for that service, and he's going to be presenting to us that night. So if you plan to attend tonight, there's going to be a sign-up sheet to let us know. Also coming up on Saturday, the ladies' Bible study is going to be at the Jurgen home. If you need to talk to Brother Ashton or Sister Jessica, they'll be more than happy to let you know where that is. And Brother Tom Goderman is going to be there as well, talking to the ladies that morning. Also coming up is family night. That dinner is going to be on the 24th of February after the evening service. Same difference. If you want to participate in that,